Blog Talk Radio.
The hits just keep on coming.
Let's start the show. You know what time it is.
What up? It's the Powerhouse Squad. The Powerhouse Squad of radio.
The Powerhouse Squad is in the house. With Tone Robbins.
Live and direct, man.
Goofy Afore.
Video. I am your host, Goofy Footy.
And Brother
Al. Hey, what's up?
You know, it's not just the wisdom, it's the basis of understanding of the subject. Let's start the show. The Powerhouse Squad is in the house.
Yeah. Powerhouse Squad is in the house. Everybody, yo, what's going on? We are doing it big always. You know the Powerhouse Squad. We keeping it real. We keeping it 100. All right. Check us out. It's been a very rocky start of a year, okay? Things have been circulating, words being played out in the media. Presentations are morphing into something that, you know, some of us cannot recognize, okay? And it's a constant reminder of what is going on out here. All right. So, with that being said, we are getting ready to get into a deep subject today. So, everybody, get ready to hit it on with the Powerhouse Squad. You know, but you know what we do first. It's that news time. We're going to play the news. It's NFL News with your host. Okay. Let's go ahead. Let's check this out. In the news lately, they've been talking about the stimulus checks, $1,400, but Republicans are trying to block it and say no. They've been also talking about what's going on with the impeachment trials next week, what's going on with Donald Trump saying that he incited the riot. As well as we all know that he is, I'm going to say it like this, he is the devil's son. you got to understand, he's a subject of his environment. And because he's a subject of his environment, you know, he is doing what his environment has told him to do. And his environment is not, okay, I'm this or that. It's his environment is basically dictating that if I want to win, I do everything I need to do. That is his environment. He is trying to be in a winning environment. He's not, he can't accept loss. He's a person that cannot accept loss. So, therefore, that thing is going on. And with that going on, you are having these issues that come up where, you know, if the right does not, far right does not agree, the far left will agree. And I do whatever it needs or wherever I can fit to win and to keep winning. And that is just how it is, and it's always how it's always been when it comes to people that think like Donald Trump. All right. Also, what's going on in today's world? We also going on. The U.S. courts have been in talk to try to renegotiate and try to keep things moving forward. As you may or may not know, that we are sitting here on a world crisis that is beyond numbers. But here's a kicker. In this small, vast world, with this big crisis going on with the coronavirus, we are facing a one little store. There's a one supermarket, I think it's in Southern, where their policy is you don't have to wear a mask. We basically is telling everybody we don't care about your safety. We don't believe that there is a vaccine. We don't believe there is a COVID issue. We don't believe in these things. So they deny it. These things have been going on a long, 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 long time. Since the past 4 years of this so-called administration that was a part of us, now is kicked out. We've seen a lot of changes, okay? Also in news, since we're talking about the impeachment trials, the COVID issue, Donald Trump's lawyers quit. So guess who he got? He's got a mob boss lawyer and Bill Cosby's lawyer defended him. Now, how many can you say that? Huh? What was that about, Tom?
Shut your mouth. I can't believe that.
No, I'm serious. That's true. I found out it's true. One of them, the lawyers, represented a couple of the mafia family members, and the other one was a representative for Bill Cosby. So those are the ones who wanted to stay around to defend Donald Trump. While everybody else walked away from Trump and said, you know what, I put my hands up, I'm gone, bye. they knew this was going the wrong way. Yes.
I got a quick question for you. And brother, please chime in if you know as well, because I'm unfamiliar. I understand the impeachment proceedings. You know, there have been Bill Clinton as well as Donald Trump. But my question is this: are they ever playing for jail time, or is it just the little mandates that they want to impose that would keep him from running for president again and things of that nature? Because I'm really unfamiliar. I don't want to take up too much time because I know we got a show.
Well, no, we got it. Let's put it like this. I'm going to chime in with like this. You need 17 Republicans along with those who filed the impeachment articles to convict. Jail time can come along with it depending on the circumstances of the charges. When you look at Nixon was impeached, but there was no jail time into base of what he did. So it's since Donald Trump insurrection issue of inciting harm to others, there will or could be jail time given to him. But, you know, if you pay yourself enough money and you loop the money right, just enough money right, you might just get what they call a big slap on the wrist on this one.
Okay.
It's the money.
Yeah, no, I understand
that talk.
Nixon's situation, because he was pardoned by the incoming president. So I get what transpired with his situation, but I've been hearing this is the second time for Donald Trump. So the first time it was the Senate that made sure that nothing happened to him, and now it seems like Mitch McConnell is kind of swayed to really wash his hands of Donald Trump in an opinions state. And that's why I was asking, like, is all of this commotion really about anything, or is it just
it's basically, we're at the point, okay, he's out of office, he's out of position of power, but he still has a reach to affect power. You understand that? As long as it's an old saying, if I have a hand in the change, then I can still make change. If I'm there in the present, but not physically up front, I can still affect change. They do not want him to be in a position to affect change. So they do not want him to have any elective office or be in any position of power or authority. In fact, New York has completely separated himself from Donald Trump. So that means New York is not wanted. Vegas has talked about the same thing. A lot of these states that have Donald Trump's properties on it are separating themselves. his royalty checks that he was getting from commercials and stuff like that, those are being cut off. The contracts are being dissolved. He's being killed off on social media. The only way he is able to sustain is because of royalties or other royalties that he has sustained on his own with his own money during the time before he filed for his Chapter 11. Now, he has done this multiple times as well. So this is where the Trump issue is, and he's trying to hold on to position. So when he gets into this position now where he goes to impeachment, he has to be able to show that, you know, he's stable, he's not this, what you think he is, so he can hold on to his money. So this is what he's trying to do. And if he's facing jail time, you might, I don't care if you're black, white, or yellow and purple, you are going to face a situation where your contracts or your income will be affected. And this is where Trump is scared. And that's what goes on to that point. So we have to always remember these things going on. Also, in other news, we want to get into the other part of the news. Listening, there's been storms all on the eastern front going up. I mean, over 2 to 3 foot of snow in some areas up here in Maine and headquarters. We've been dealing with it. It's been freezing cold. I believe the wind chill was minus four degrees cold, and the wind chill was definitely going in, but it's been shifting all the way up. By now, it's all the way up going back into towards Canada, so which is a good thing because we can get the polar ice caps to refreeze or keep from melting because of our climate change going along across the world as well. So we definitely need to be aware. Please, if you are in the East Coast, please bundle up while you walk through the streets. If you're walking, taking a bus, or wherever you are, please take safety and, you know, care for your fellow man as you can and care for yourself. All right? And we've been doing that for all this time. And my name is Brother Alfred. We are NFL News. FDR out. All right. Let's get into it. Today, we're talking about modesty. All right? Now, I want to shoot the scenarios. My brothers and my sisters, y'all, let me know what you're thinking about. When it comes to modesty, what do you hear? What do you think modesty means? Huh? What does it mean? Be humble? Does it mean is another word for be submissive? What does it mean to be modest? Okay. Now, the scenario is this. If I'm let's say I want to be a pop star or an entertainer, and what I'm doing right now is I'm trying to make myself known. So let's say I'm a young lady. A lot of times you see these social media women, it doesn't matter where you're at, they feel they have to get naked or halfway naked on the screen. And the guys, too, they get the best suits out, that Ralph Lauren or whatever, and, they bring it out. Or, they got that muscle going for them. They flex it out there to get them big numbers. What happened to being modest and just using your brain for your attraction? Where is the modesty in that? If I'm showing you my body and my whole personality is not being flexed upon, so I have to get naked first, then I show you my mind. Does this sound familiar to some people? It sounds like what you do. It sounds like when you're dating somebody, get out and go on the street or somebody in the street, and you flex and you put that tight muscle shirt on, dude, and then And then, you know, then you sit down with her, finally sit down with her in a cafe somewhere, and now you start showing her your mind. So you show the body first and not the mind first. What happened to showing your mind? Respect the person's mind first. Be attracted to the mind. And then if the body comes into play when you are both accepting each other and you both are in accord with each other, you can reveal the body because that person deserved that. You know, where's the gift at it? Where's the prize? I'm giving you everything before I even get to know your name. You know, these kind of things are coming into play, and I see them so often. It's ridiculous. And it's not just women; it's men too. I mean, I trust me. I go on the TikTok and Instagram, and I go on the Facebook, and all I see is, excuse my language, is butt and ass. You know what I mean? And then you turn around. If you like the picture, you say, okay, she looks beautiful. You know what I'm saying? You know, your mind thinking, okay, maybe she wants a husband, or she's looking for a good man, or he's looking for a good wife, or what. So he, you know, that's why he putting it out there like that. Find out they just want you to like the video. Okay, so you're proselytizing yourself instead of being humble among people and letting people see your mind. Your content is supposed to be something of a mental state, not showing of your physical. I mean, seriously, what are you trying to be, what they call, a porno star or something? You know, these are the things you got to look at here, the way people are acting. I'll give you another scenario of modesty. Modesty is, can be considered of how you you speak. Today is the way people speak today. It's so harsh. You make a 1950 sailor seem like he ain't talking nothing. They used to say you swear like a sailor. And now that term don't even have no weight no more. Because everybody in their mama is it beep, beep, beep this and beep, beep, beep that and bold, bold this and bold out that. You know? So, you know, we have to get into understanding what does modesty really mean in 2021? We're in 2021. What does it mean? All right? I'll put it out there.
Man, Kim Kardashian, blueprint.
Hey,
she broke the internet, man. She's raising kids, you know, through imagery, keeping up with the Kardashians. Entertainment is powerful, man, and it's universal. It's universal, and it's not only impacting the United States of America. You know, you and I are on the platform stereo, so you know, I talk to people from all over: Iran, Iraq, UK, Switzerland, Sweden, etc. I mean, and bottom line, most people are Americanized or Westernized, and they operate, especially the youth, they operate with that bravado as nothing matters. Let's be very direct. There's nothing to, as far as mannerisms, hide or reveal from a standpoint of just, you know, again, like you were saying, let your talent show first. It's vulgarity and popularity are the two things that is driving the world right now, the modern world, in most instances. But as they said in the past, man, you don't have to be one with the world to survive. You know, stay within your faith, keep your head down, keep it moving, man, keep your family protected, keep them prayed up. I'm going to fall back. Go ahead, sister.
Yeah, so what I want to say is modesty, I believe, is what everybody believes it is. Because if we take it all the way back, and I'm talking about ancient history, if we talk about the dress, the language, the culture, all of that, let's go with the dress first. So if we take it back to ancient history, the ancient world, And still some of these people still dress in the nude. So modesty is supposed to be appropriation, like everything is proper in its place, it's not too much, it's average. But if you go in today's society and the way people are dressing now in America, you do see a lot. And some people will say, oh, that's not modest, especially when you talk about religion. I think when religion came about, modesty took on a new definition. Oh, the woman, it was always about the woman. The woman can't wear this. They have to wear these long dresses. They have to wear these long skirts. But in ancient history, women didn't pretty much have on anything. And they were respected. The men didn't have on anything. Like if you go to the African, look at the African ancient tribes, there's still some tribes today in Africa that still dress in the nude. But they're respected. They're chiefs. They're chiefs of the tribe. So I think modesty is what you believe it is. So as society in America, I think when you see, as you're talking about Kim Kardashian, you know, she's always showing some cleavage or something. Her figure is shown to the T. Like you can just pretty much map it out just by looking at it. And so coming from a Christian, like those of you that relate to religion, coming from a Christian background, that's probably like a little bit too much. You're not modest in your dressing. But what is it to you? You know, what is it that you respect? What is it, you know, that we all respect as a society and versus culture and all of that? So I think that modesty depends on where you are located, which culture you're in, you know, what your belief system, also it is influenced by religion. So if you put religion in it, and when I think about modesty, it's never directed towards a man, in my opinion. It's always the woman. What is the woman wearing? What is she saying? Does she have a mouth like a sailor? And like you said, brother, the language. Me, I stand alone. Like you said, some of you guys stand alone in your family. So I stand alone in this belief because I believe that everybody curses. So whether you say the F word, like for me, being brought up in a Christian background, my parents were very, they were Christian. It was like, this is the way, this is not the way. If you're doing that, you're sinning. And so my parents never cursed, and I didn't grow up cursing. But I always, as a teenager, would have this conversation with my parents and say, well, I believe you curse anyway, because if you say doggone to shoot, shuck, all that, it means the same thing that they're saying with the opposite words. If you break it down, why are you saying that? What does it mean? It means the same exact thing. So that is my stance. I don't believe that, you know, there's a difference in that aspect. So some people, it may be like person like a sailor. For me, I don't believe in all of that. I believe that you're speaking words and you're expressing your feelings. And, yes, society has deemed them cursing words. So I don't. I just deem them as a, so that is my stance on it. I don't believe that just because someone may use more cursing words that they are less modest. I think we're all the same, because if you can say chuck, doggone, shoot, all of that, and you say it behind the same sentence that somebody else saying the opposite word, but the same meaning, it's the same thing to me. So it's about what society has created, you know, that idea behind the norms of society.
Okay, you know who we want to hear next, right? We know who it is. He's a hashtag brother, the shadow band. So you know we want to hear it, bro. Come on,
I mean,
brother.
Thanks for the introduction. I'm not any better than anybody else. Appreciate it, but you know, like. I agree with what was said for the most part. I mean, I would say to the sister, first of all, to her point and to work backwards some, I would definitely say that modesty is something that, because we live in a chauvinistic society, at least as far as where people are living, and what people are basing things on, because even when we talk about different cultures, we look through it through a Eurocentric lens, if we be honest. That's why if, like, people who are into certain cultures, you're going to still have colorism, right? That's why, like, you can have, in one place, you can have the Untouchables while having a culture that basically has African stamps all over it and Greek stamps and all types of stuff in it, like if we're talking India, Pakistan, with some people that I even work with over there. You're going to have the same thing that happens in Africa of itself, where North Sudan and South Sudan are going to be a little different. You're going to see the same thing in America, obviously. We don't need to go too much in depth with that. But chauvinism is something that's reared its ugly head. And at the same time, you know, I think once again we have to go back. If we're going to talk about ancient times, you know, I think we have to go back and be honest and have honest dialogue about what did those cultures do and why did they dress how they dressed and things of that nature. Now we got to start getting into what those people say. And I think a lot of times we start using a modern Eurocentric lens that was supposed to be about the white man's burden that took away a lot of what people felt, what modesty was and belief was, and we began to put that on other people. For example, we got Brother Alfred on here, Train the Beanie Mom, and all that stuff. When we go back to Mansa Musa and his brothers, and, you know, at a time of the period where Mansa Musa is the richest man to ever exist, period, he has a brother who comes to him. I can't remember his last name, Ibn, first name. I can't remember the brother's last name, but he's a historian. Comes over and basically gives us most of what we know about Mansa Musa. And in living with Mansa Musa and his brothers and his father at that time had decided to convert to Islam. And so we would probably automatically in our mind say, oh, yeah, that means that because of their religion, which everybody has religion, by the way. Religion literally means people repetitively do the same thing as a legion. So if you brush your teeth, you religiously brush your teeth. Nobody is without religion. The question is whether your religion matches your spiritual values or if your religion does anything good for society, right? But if you go back to his religion, the assumption would be that because they were Muslims, that women had to be dressed all the way down and all this stuff. But the brother who was the historian, when he gets there, I'll call him Brother Ibn for today because since I can't remember his last name right now, he gets over there and is frustrated and appalled because women walked around with their chest uncovered, with their breasts hanging out, basically. And he's mad and upset and frustrated, but, you know, Mansa Musa lets him know very quickly that just because I have decided to convert does not mean that everybody does not have the right, including my own children and people in my court, to be able to still have certain cultural values that they keep in place. And I don't look down upon them, nor does our society. And so, like, we need to start having some of those conversations because we keep looking through the lens of, hey, everybody today goes straight to the women and says women are bad, which is true. But I think we have to start even looking through some of this stuff as far as modesty through the right lens. When we go back to those times, you know, for example, I'm Ivrit. People call it Hebrew nowadays, but I'm Ivrit, right? And people will say that, oh, your women had to be covered in subjects and silence and all that because they don't even know what the Bible really means because they've never read it in Hebrew. So they're going off of some whitewashed version of it, right? So when they come to me with that, I'm like, that's interesting because I've never seen that in my house before. I don't know about that from my African background, from my Cherokee background, from my Hebrew background, but that's interesting that you would tell me that's what we do. But if I were to show it to you now, let's go ahead and read it in its original version that most people were raised not to know. They were raised to learn somebody else's version of what our account is. You would find out that that actually didn't say anything about the woman's head had to be covered. It was saying that, hey, if your husband gets off track, please cover him in prayer. That's the actual translation, right? So we're arguing stuff a lot of times with modesty or religiosity or whatever based off of what somebody else told us something said. So I think that's the main thing is if we're going to go back, you know, and keep the main thing, let's go back and look through the lens of, hey, in Kemet, what did they say about their women, right? They're the ones that taught us that our women are not in front of us. They're not behind us. They're not above us. They're not beneath us, but they're beside us, right? What is it that the Cherokee people taught, you know, did they have their women being looked down upon as wrong? No, of course not. We wouldn't. What about the Iroquois nation, who we call the Iroquois now, the Haudenosaunee? They made it a point to where their women had to be the ones to vote men into power. So there would be men that would have power, but he really never had any power without women, and the women could take him out of power at any time, meaning that the man might have been allowed to be the chieftain, but he had to always look out for the sisters first. Like, when we start to look at this stuff and we start talking about honoring customs, cultures, traditions, et cetera, whose customs, cultures, and traditions are we honoring? Are we looking at it through an American lens? Because through an American lens, yes, we can. That's what the Americans and English and French and Portuguese, et cetera, have done throughout colonization, which is we come there and we say that you had no history, you had no tradition, you had no culture before we decided to write it in a book. And then when we wrote it in a book, we said that you were savages and actually twisted stuff, took some of the stuff that we liked and then said that it was ours, and to make ourselves look better and to make you always look like you were nothing. But that's not how we treat our women. And I say this all the time, whether you talk about hood, whether you want to talk about the hood back in Africa, whether you want to talk about Ghana, whether you talk about Nigeria, whether you want to talk about South Africa, you know, whether you talk about Jamaica, Haiti, different places that I can tell you from, and if it's not my personal experience, can give you experience from those who live around me and work with me. I don't, in the black community, especially because of slavery and colonization, we don't have culture and tradition that's based off of our own stuff. And for real, for real, we don't have a patriarchal society within our own society because men don't live as long as women. And if we just be frank, and also men don't have power like women do. Look at the Willie Lynch letters and how we were taught to flip stuff over where the woman came first, the child came second, and the man came last. So in our society, we have matriarchal society. Now, do we mess up and come at our sisters wrong and try to imitate what white men do and stuff all the time? I'm not going to act like none of that exists, but that's not our culture. Somebody flipped that on us. And so if we're going to talk about modesty, what is modesty from our point of view? That's why I'm always going to our point of view. Do you even know what our point of view is? The old saying, boy, girl, you ain't in your right mind. They didn't say that you ain't in right mind. They said you're not in your right mind. In other words, you're trying to take on other people's mind and then try to make it your own. And so even when we're Afrocentric out here, a lot of us out here lost talking about modesty or whatever, because we're not looking at it from what the actual people who were there. So I definitely agree with the sister from that point of view, you know, but I think we have to, if we're going to talk modesty from that point of view, let's start making sure that we make a clear distinction. It will help us in the long run as far as this is who we're supposed to be and this is who we're not, you know, and I think that's vital and important.
Ladies and gentlemen, here it is, the most listened to radio show on the planet. Even the other stations are tuned in too.
What's going on? You're listening to Midnight Oil with King Cam on NSF Radio, where you get music, motivation, and more.
Warning, radioactive zone detected. Please enter with Duende mood. Take a break and enjoy the show. This is Radio El Duende.
All right. We're back. And we're talking about modesty. I'm sorry. Every time Brother Kobe gets on there and Brother Tone, my head starts to tingle like I'm having a Head and Shoulders commercial. So just to let you know, my head's tingling. Does that mean my head's growing? I don't know. It happens every darn time. And every time, I swear, I'm going to end up like the old myth about the big-headed scientist. I'm going to be like Yaku, the big-headed scientist. You know? Turn around.
Not Yaku.
Huh? Oh, yeah, you know, walk around, man. You know, I got my white on, and I'm doing it, man. But anyway, yes, we're talking about modesty right now. We're coming in here right now, and everybody listen up. And if you like to hear along, ask a question to the show, please tune in right now and dial the number 1-5-1-6-418-5805. All right, we are live. Come on, NSF Radio is in the house, and we are getting it on with the Powerhouse Squad is in there. So call in, get it on. Call your mama and call your daddy and say, listen, they got something. We need to go into this. We need to talk about this right now. So bring it to the water cooler. If you're downloading it, please download it for later. Don't forget, you can always, if you miss the show, you always can download it for later. You know, like you say, that good, delicious piece of pie for later on at night when you want to lay down, relax. You know, so when you listen to a pie, Scott, let us be your piece of pie and stimulate that mind. All right, so let's get back into it. Now, I'm going to give you another scenario when it comes to modesty, okay? This is what I've been seeing also along the lines. Now, we talked about the women, okay, yes, that is. But the more of the men now trying to get into it on their own way. See, I think what it is, women walk a thin line on when they present themselves in life. And they have to walk this line because if they go a little bit to left, they perceive one way. They go a little bit to right, they perceive another way. And it's hard because, you know, it's sort of like myself, okay? A lot of people don't know I'm dyslexic. I have dyslexia, and that means when I read something or study something, it takes me a lot longer. So I have to trick my brain into seeing concepts, or I come up with ways to recognize certain things. And so if I get a job or I'm doing something, it takes me a lot longer to understand it than normal people or within the normal parameters of what they call normalcy. So with that being the same thing with women, but they have to work a little harder. And, you know, it, the quote James Brown, it's a man's world, but it's nothing without a woman. You know, and but mm-hmm. see, we have to be able to be a presence of understanding that the woman really, you really don't need to work that hard, really honestly. Even though you've struggled, and those who try to push you down over the years and say you're not capable of doing this just like a man. Or you're not as worth of it. That's why you're getting a less paycheck as well because of these issues. But that's falsehood. A woman's mind, believe it or not, man cannot exist without coming to woman. Because look at womb, which is the where you came from, man. And then man is part of woman. She is he and he is she. They are intertwined together on a microscopic issue of living and coexisting. They have to understand these things. And people will not respect you because you sit there and say, okay, you're not worthy. No, that's not how it should be. What it should be doing is you should be saying, okay, I have a mind, I've educated myself, I've done with the proper work in my life, like just like everybody else, and this is what I can do. Take that or leave it alone. All right? So we just get into that part, and I'm just saying that these things, we're not valuing our communities as much as we should. You know what I'm saying? I don't care if you're black or Latino. The Latino communities even say that part. Okay? Now, I personally want to say on the closing arguments, I want to get into a little bit of closing arguments on this subject right now, and everybody can speak on it with their close on this as we make that transition to part two. I want to get into everybody to talk about what do you think that we can do to show the world what true modesty looks like in 2021? what is your perspective of what can we show them that, you know, you can use your mind first? That's the basic what I'm saying. How can we show people that your body should be always the last resort, or never really a resort, but your mind should do the work, not the body, you know, or presenting the body as the way to accomplish what you need to accomplish? I'll leave that to you all. Who wants to go first?
I think that a way to change that is it has to start in the household. It has to start with what we're teaching our children and what we are actually doing as parents. Because children only do, well, they do more, but they normally do what they see. So if we are the ones that are, you know, displaying that, hey, we need to look at the outside first, then guess what? Your children are going to follow in that example. So first start with addressing the problem within ourselves. Are we more focused on the outside? Then teach our children, because those are the ones that are going to grow up and lead the world. So if we're teaching our children to focus on what really matters, which is the inside, because as we do age, we get, oh, all this outside appearance stuff really ends up not mattering at the end of it. Because if you talk to a lot of people that are old on their dying bed, they say nothing about the outer appearance. They say, I wish I had done this, and it relates to something internal, not something that was on the outside of a person or a being. It was about that connection, that relatability. They have that regret. I wish I had done this or that. Not, I wish I had married a good-looking woman, a better-looking woman, or my children look better. It was more so about the internal things. So I think it starts with us first changing how we view it, and then teaching our children to do that. Because if we don't, then the world is going to continue as it is.
All right. Tone, you're up, brother.
I mean, at the end of the day, it's just tap into your culture, you know. Find yourself, cultural beliefs, and stay centered. You know, like you and I had we had an offline discussion, speaking on certain Muslim customs, past and present. And, you know, as I stated to you, you know, I found the way that one lady who had her arms covered, wearing a hijab and a dress, I found that beautiful. So respect to those that have been able to be as centered and devout with a regimen that, you know, as Brother Kobe say, religiously, have religiously stayed within faith and continue to practice that on a day-to-day basis. I mean, you, and again, you know, as Sister said, you are what comes out of your household at the end of the day. So if your child witnesses you waking up on a daily basis and you're westernized and you're getting dressed in business suits, business attire, you know, you have a certain a decorum long term, your kids, your seeds, they're going to automatically be drawn to that through the laws of attraction. You know, they'll have less desires to be a specific way. I remember watching a segment on young lady Taraji P. Henson, and she spoke of, you know, the way that she dressed when she was in high school and as she attended Howard University. Again, she wasn't like the average young college student her age, because she was accustomed to dressing in a certain fashion and had a certain fashion sense that was a little more mature and felt uncomfortable, you know, showing, going sleeveless and things like that. I know, you know, as she's become a success through film, she's had to be a bit daring and go against some of her more beliefs that she spoke of. But, you know, ultimately, just hearing a person explain how and what their beliefs are, you know, it just sets the tone, again, to piggyback on what you just said. It starts at home. Everything starts within the home, within the household, and it carries from there. So if you are in tune culturally, traditionally, morally, you know, with good faith and values, that's something that you shouldn't have to worry about. Now, as far as the rest of the world, it's going to be different. I mean, we live in a hypersexual time. As they always like to utilize through business, advertisement, marketing, film, arts, entertainment, sex sells. So they will continue to push that agenda from now into infinity, unfortunately. So I don't particularly think that we are going to see some notable people scale back. In most instances, because they're trapped in a paradox where they have to do what they have to do to make their money. You know, as I said, even with Taraji P. Henson, you know, she's had some respected roles. You know, like in Benjamin Button, where she played an older woman in character. You know, stayed within taste, but then she is, you know, she's sketchy as cookies. She's sketchy as young lady on Baby Boy, so it kind of varies. But a lot of people are afraid to break that mold. And rest in peace to the young man that played in the who starred as the lead in the Black Panther, who passed last year. You know, he said about his character, his demeanor, his position, his moral values, to question producers and directors in regards to what type of roles they was trying to cast him for, which had him typecast as a very difficult person to work with. But staying true to who he was ultimately helped him to solidify his success by choosing to be a person of character and staying within his taste, within his cup of tea. So his time came. Maybe not as fast as he wanted it to, but that's a good example of a person being walking in their faith, staying true to what they believe in, and not allowing the masses to influence them. You know, not even for a monetary gain. So that's the best thing that I can add to the conversation, and I'm sure we'll hear, you know, more from Brother Kofi.
All right, Brother Kofi, closing statements on the subject.
End up great job of Brother Tone, and you know, great conversation, but with our sister, you know, and of course Brother Alfred. For me, if we're talking about ways to even solve it, here's something that I don't hear people talk about as much, because everybody's always talking about be free, be yourself. But even within self, like, what are your limits? You know, I'm not going to make it a thing of like, you got to believe everything that I believe, because I don't think that really works. And even if you believe in the Bible, or, you know, when we're talking about that biblical point of view, that's not something that the Bible even teaches is possible, because everybody's allowed to have what we call free will. So, but what are your limits? You know, I do a lot of life coaching, and sometimes I pass on, you know, life coaching opportunities to others, because sometimes I might not feel like I'm the person to deal with the person or different things. And one thing, I was talking about a sister who, you know, I had passed this sister to another sister to talk to specifically about some of the things going on with her relationship. And I got a call back from the sister that was helping me. And basically she said, you know, was telling me all these things going on. And I asked a question, because I had noticed some stuff going on with the person we were trying to help. And I said, has this person ever shown limits? And they said, what do you mean? I said, well, I know this person well enough in the short experience I have with them to know that this person more than likely would not accept certain things that happens to her. You know, she wouldn't accept those things to happen to happen to others. So in other words, if it was her friend that was being mistreated, she would speak up for her friend. But when it comes to herself, she wouldn't speak up for herself. And I was like, so when you have something that happens like that, you have somebody who falls into a whole bunch of deep, dark issues out of not loving self, depression issues or depressive type situations. And when we're dealing with a lot of stuff with men and women when it comes to modesty, you know, men not pulling their pants up, you know, I don't find that to be modest or of good taste, not just because it's showing you behind everybody, but also because, you know, it used to mean something different coming out of prison. And I believe that words carry power because they come from mindsets and different things like that. So you have imprisonment in the mind, which is why I'm into certain word usage and making sure that we get words correct and having certain etymology. You know, so for me, you know, that's why like a curse word to me is a different mindset than something somebody else, you know, our sister was saying, and I get what she was saying, but for me, it's like, you know, hey, if I curse somebody, I can use something besides a word to curse them. I can curse somebody by, you know, giving them the cold shoulder when they need help. I can curse somebody by saying you're going to be just like your daddy or something like that, you know. So words to me, you know, that's my love language, you know, words of affirmation. So words to me hold a lot of power and are a huge vehicle to be used. And whether we're talking about being modest in our love language, in our apparel, and modest as far as how we treat one another. Matter of fact, modesty speaks to humility. You know, are we wearing the things that we're wearing? Are we doing the things that we're doing simply for attention? You know, but what is the limit? You know, circling all the way back, what is your limit? When you're talking about modesty, what is, in fact, your limit? What is it that you're willing to limit yourself within? You know, you know, people say that all the time, you know, that play on the Bible that people like to use, you know, with great power comes great responsibility. You know, what is that? With great power that you have, so with the great power that you have, you know, a woman can literally walk into a room, a queen can walk into the room, and just by giving a look or swaying her hips, the whole room can go into silence, right? You know, the prodigal woman people like to talk about. You know, it says literally that's actually not a man talking about a prodigal woman. If you know about the history of that, it's actually a queen who was describing to her son that what it is to have a woman that's more precious than rubies. And it even talks about how she's known in the streets and how she represents the Most High, how she represents her husband, how she represents her children, how she has her own job, how people know that she'd be looking, you know, she looks a certain way. She's put together. Her language is a certain way, sure. But once again, you know, what are your limits? Because I don't think we can talk modesty and talk about being limitless. Now, like, for example, I'm not mad at, you know, saying all that. It might sound like cognitive dissonance, but hopefully I can explain. Somebody like a Lizzo that seems to rile people up, I'm not necessarily mad at Lizzo but I feel like let's be what it is. Like, if Lizzo comes out and says, look, this works for me, I'm okay, and if you don't like it, so what? Like, do you, baby girl, like, if that's what you do you and do you to the fullest and do it in an amazing way, right? But what I would say to Lizzo at the same time, which I feel like people are afraid to say, what I would say is, while you got your butt hanging out, you know, at the All-Star game, understand that when somebody grabs their child and leaves offended, don't get upset with them and say they couldn't handle. No, that wasn't modest. Now, you still might be okay with doing you, but don't act like that has to be defined as everybody else's reality as well. So I think, like, one of the biggest things we have to do, once again, going to what Brother Tone is talking about, going to a little bit of what Brother Alpha is talking about, going to a little bit of what, you know, was talking about by our resident queen, since we only have one, you know, so I'm trying to make sure that what she's saying is included in my mindset and in our mindset. But going back to what everybody's saying, hey, we have to, in fact, be in a position to where we figure out what, in fact, is modesty. What is the limit? Not based on everybody else, that's fine, but based on what the reality is, right? Because even some of the stuff that I get, like, I understand. Look, if you go to certain parts of Africa, if I were to go right now, go to some Shwe Nation, certain parts of where we are, I promise you that you'll see some things that you wouldn't be able to see in America. But over there,
here's the kicker. Culture, once again, comes into play. When I go over there, there's a culture that says this is who we are and this is what we do. In America, let's be honest, we weren't raised with that culture. So what causes a man to look at a woman is different here. See, culturally, and I think that's something we don't look at. What causes a man to find interest in a woman, or what causes a woman to find interest in America, even as a black person, is based on, once again, a European lens. So in Africa, a woman can stand next to a man during a certain ceremony. Both of them can be naked or close to naked, and neither one will bat an eye. Neither one, you know, the man will not get an erection. The woman will not, I guess, technically a woman can get an erection too, but you know, a woman will not be, you know, sexually aroused or whatever. You won't see that happen because of the culture and what's been taught. But now you're dealing with a different culture, and then you have other people saying, well, hey, you know, in Africa we used to do blah blah blah. Well, that's true, but are the brothers that are around you, can they handle that yet? Are you willing to do something societally that teaches that different? And what are you willing to do? But in the meantime, what are the limits? So you know, I could go on and on and on about this. I think we could have 10,000 conversations about this, and really it would require us to be a lot more open-minded and open our hearts to a lot more, and to be willing to have honest discussion and figure out what is poisonous, you know, what is the poisonous things, as our sister was saying, that we learned just because our parents said thus and such. Does that mean that it actually furthers good behavior, or is it something that's just the way of us still being able to do bad stuff behind the scenes and get away with it? So I think we have to have a lot more conversation, but I think if we start looking at sometimes even the limits, when we find out what a limit is, then we can start talking about modesty. Right now, what's the point of even talking about modesty if there are no limits? If you can have a 2-year-old baby boy or baby girl on TikTok dancing, moving their, putting their butt in the screen when they say they're ratchet and savage and all this stuff, savage even meaning wild and what our people were killed for being.
Right.
If we're going to put that on TikTok, how do we have a conversation about modesty if there is no limit? Are we allowed? You know, we got to have this discussion. Are we allowed to say that 2-year-old on TikTok putting their butt in the screen, talking about they ratchet and savage and bougie and all this, is that right? And if it's not, then maybe we should make a limit. And therefore, we can start having discussions on modesty. The problem is that most people want to be Americanized, as our sister was saying. Or I'm sorry, I think it was Brother Tone that was saying that. Americanized and have more Eurocentric thought to where, hey, everybody do whatever you want. Well, I mean, that's true. We should allow people to be free to be themselves. And it's your children. But just understand, if there is no limit that everybody's willing to agree with, at least within our own culture, then can we really even begin to have a conversation about modesty?
Well, there are limits. There are limits. But the limits are pretty much restricted to groups. And I'm going to use an example of something that touched the American media and somewhat the UK last week, when Whoopi Goldberg supposedly or allegedly, unintentionally, wore a Prince Hall Freemason emblem sweater. And it caused such an uproar from that restricted population of people. And some said it's no.
I'm sorry, Brother Tone. You said she wore a what? She wore a what now?
She wore a sweater that had a Prince Hall Masonic emblem on the front of it. And it caused...
Hold on. Whoopi Goldberg?
Look at you.
Are we talking about
you.
The same Whoopi
Look
Goldberg?
You.
Hold on a minute. No, you didn't.
Whoopi
you
Goldberg.
Didn't get, are we talking about the same one that did the movie Burglar?
Ghost. Yeah, there you go. Whoopi Goldberg.
That Whoopi Goldberg. Homie, this woman, hold up. Bring it back. All right, hold up. All right, check this out. We all, whoa. Okay, folks, we just got exclusive. What the hell? Woo. Okay, Whoopi Goldberg. This woman wouldn't even... Does she even know what a Mason is? I think she doesn't have any clue.
Here's the thing. here's the thing.
She probably is a Mason.
In a nutshell. Whoa.
She can't be.
Why you mean she can't be?
Okay.
You can be Boulet.
Okay. I'll explain that to you.
Are the sisters? Hold on. But aren't the sisters of Diners, right? Or whatever that is?
Eastern Star.
Thank you. Yeah, because you know that brothers, because all of that stuff, is like if you're in fraternities and sororities, you know, that's all connected. That's why they got those Greek letters and stuff. They come from the same background.
So if you're in Hollywood,
check out Peep That sometime. Peep out why they have the checkered floor. Check out how they call it Babylon. Check out what Oscar was actually a god and a god's name. Like, all of that is connected. So she probably does, you don't get as high as Whoopi Goldberg and probably not have some kind of influence for sure.
But hold up. Let me just say real quick. Whoopi Goldberg is, believe it or not, well, she considers herself Jewish or Hebrew or whatever, by terminology, right? But at the same time, she has a despise against Muslims. She's always made it short. She made nasty comments about Farrakhan. She made some nasty comments about some of the Israel and the Muslim scholars out there. When the sister came on her show, which was The View, the sister did not get any support from Whoopi. Whoopi stepped back, let them white girls tear that sister apart. I mean, they truly tried, but sister held her own. All right? This woman had no sympathy towards Islamic belief, and the reason I say that, because the final stage of a Mason, especially in Prince Hall, the 33 degrees. The 33 degrees, you receive a Quran. The Shriners, if you look at the emblem of the Shriners, is the star and the crescent moon turned down.
But Brother Alfred, that's not the same. That's like when they say God, they don't mean the same God that she was. Like, it's the deist, right? The founding fathers, if you consider yourself to be an American, check out what those founding fathers believe in. When people say they were Christians, none of them were Christians. Thomas Jefferson used to rip pages out of his Bible. Abraham Lincoln was ripping teeth out of his slaves to make teeth. John Adams was out here locking people up if you spoke bad against them. Andrew Jackson, like, if I went through in a row right now, of all these people, like, they're not, their belief who God is, they worship Baphomet at the top. Like, the pyramid at the top is Baphomet. I can actually tell you, there's actually, like, I know this, I'm not supposed to know this, but my cousin and I had a gentleman that we ended up taking care of in old age, and my cousin more so than myself, and this gentleman was a former Mason, and he was suffering from Alzheimer's. So basically, he started slipping up and saying stuff. Like, there's a lot of stuff in there that people don't really recognize and realize that, like, I can tell you, well, I don't even know if I should tell you, but there's some stuff, like, hand signal-wise and things I've seen myself in court and stuff. It's all based on God, but God is not what you consider to be God, and not even the real Baphomet, which some people would argue whether we know who that is or not. Like, it's a totally different concept. So when you're talking about the Quran that they get in 33rd degree, they're not thinking about Allah as far as him being the same that's magnificent and merciful. They're not talking about the connection to Muhammad and it being a correction towards the Tarakh and all that. They're talking about something completely different, bro.
So I'm not going to get in depth. But you see how interpretation, you see how perspective changes, you know, when it comes to certain when it comes down to certain things that are in minority groups. That's the best way I'll put it. It's in minority groups, because that is a choice to be one. But Whoopi, she wore it on The View. She said she had no idea what it symbolized in her apology the day after it caused such an uproar. But to your point, Brother Alfred, can she be a Mason? Well, and I spoke to a Prince Hall Freemason member, and he said, no, she can't be a Prince Hall Freemason, but in the United Kingdom and certain clandestine organizations in the United States, she can definitely be a Mason. But the issue was, she had the square and the compass and the PHA next to it, which would symbolize Prince Hall affiliate, which that is something that the black fraternity side of that organization had a huge issue with, her misrepresenting what they feel in their bylaws that they are against, which there's no women membership in that particular chapter of Masonry. But no here, no there. I was just utilizing that as an example to talk about, you know, hey, modesty and limits. You okay?
Whoa. We got to go and play the bills. We'll be right back in 2 minutes and hit you right back. I it was like I just got in bed and there was a supermodel next door. And my woo! Okay.
I just wanted to say something too. When you're talking about modesty too, real quick, make sure that you also remember that part of that word mod, you know, is on, you know, you modesty or modern or anything, you're talking about something that's modal, you know, something that's a mode, you know, you're talking about a mode that you're in too, you know, so even modesty, like, you should be careful too, you know, that goes into that whole discussion, should brothers wear do-rags when they go outside the house, or only when they're inside the house, should women wear, you know, bonnets inside the house or outside the house, like, a lot of that stuff is in what mode you're in as well, so that's cultural as well too, that's why I say, look, you got to figure out limits, you know, even to the modes that we're in and stuff like that, and there has to be some agreement, so I think that's a good thing to take away too. Because what mode you're in also will determine sometimes as far as whether you should be modest or not. Because if I'm in the house, modesty is different than if I'm outside too, you know. And I think that's something too where maybe that needs to be taught too. You know, when we were growing up, you know, certain things that I couldn't do. I remember even if you had a fro. And now I grew up in an old school neighborhood with old school parents and stuff, like real old school. But, you know, like I remember if you were going to grow a fro, if you were going to have your you know, before Method Man and other people kind of made it to where you could do whatever you wanted with your head, if you was going to have rows, you needed to make sure that them jokers was in when you went to sleep. But when you came outside, you know, like, them things had to be out. And I'm not saying that's what you have to do. I'm just saying there was an agreement between everybody that was kind of like, this is what you do. If you smoked, right, even if you was a drug dealer, I'd be out there with some of the heaviest drug dealers in D.C. And yet, you know, when an old woman was walking down the street, as a child, I remember seeing drug dealers, like, putting everything away, you know, making sure that they uncovered their heads with their hats, you know, addressing them, you know, good morning, ma'am, good morning, sir, type stuff. You know, like, all of that is stuff that goes back to modesty. So we got to figure out what the modes that we want to be in real quick. I just wanted to add that in real quick while it was on my mind.
All right. We went to part two. Part two is about the kidding, so let's get it in second hand, as they say. All right, everybody, check this out. Approximately, some of us may have watched Donahue, Oprah, over the years. There's been some, like, ladies or men or people that, you know, would come on the show, and the question would ask, what would you think of what would you describe them? What would your background, what the background would the AD be? And the background would be, okay, they are white, but they go in their history and they find out that they really were just black, but their parents, because of Jim Crow laws, the treatments of blacks in America, and as we would say, they were passing. Okay? So they were passing. So passing meaning the terminology that their skin's light enough that they can pass as white, was the term. And Over the years, this has started popping up more and more. It seems like these kind of subjects they're in the background, but they need to be brought to the forefront, because some people, even within our own communities now, the lighter the skin the sister is, people don't believe that they're black, even though they say. And there's even Kofi, you can back me up with it. You're running with now. They're doing TikTok to about, you know I'm black, right? And you're seeing that, like, you know. But these are examples of people trying to show that they're black, but they're proud to be black. But there's also the other side, where people who were raised white, they, even though they are predominantly black, and they really or do not have any black in them, I mean any white in them, but they are raised white to the point that they don't even know that they're black. I'm going to use the example I'm bringing to the table. I work with a woman now, okay? We're going to call her Miss Queenie, okay? Miss Queenie was a black Latino descent. And Miss Queenie was always raised white. She was very light skinned, but she had black features growing up. She had the curly hair. She always had, you know, she had the facial features of a black person. But she was always told that she was white. And then come along present time, she meets your brother. She meets me. And she started explaining to me about her history. Her uncles, her mom's side, her dad's side, they're all very dark-skinned, except for her mom and her dad. They were very, very light-skinned. Her brother is very dark-skinned. It's dark-skinned meaning like tan almost, okay? But she has always thought of herself as white. Now, the scenario goes into the next part of it. The question I asked her, I said, now that you know that you are black, would you change your ethnicity on paperwork and present yourself as black? Now, we go into Jane Elliott, who asked the question on the stage where, well, if you would like to be or be treated the way blacks are treated in America, raise your hand. And every white person in here, no one raised their hand because they knew how blacks are treated in our society and how they are treated in America. All right? So the question is, should she accept her blackness or should she continue living a lie of not trying to be participating into her true nature of her culture? That's the question.
I think people have, in general, the people that tend to deny their ancestry, you know, it's going to be kind of hard for them to accept that because they don't want to relate to the history or the idea of blacks today in society. So we all, like you said, Brother Alfred, we are treated differently. You know, that's known. I'm not saying that as a hindrance or that we can't do what we need to do, but at the same time, if you study and you look at the statistics versus compared to non-blacks, we're at the bottom. So it's kind of hard because people never really want to relate to anything negative, especially if the society agrees that, well, not all of society, but a lot of people look down or frown upon something, which is the skin color, our skin color. I believe that it's going to be kind of hard for them because I've seen, watched on TV, read in reports and articles where if you would look at these people, you would actually think they are white. until they find out that they are actually black. I've watched an episode of a girl, a young girl who thought she was white. She found out that her dad, when she read her results from her DNA test, her dad, she found out that day that her dad was not her dad, who she believed for 20-plus years that was her dad. When she found out, oh, what is this African ancestry? What is this about? And so her dad didn't have, you know, that part in his book, but her mom did. And so she found out that he's black. And then I've seen them where they're white and they try to ignore you, ancestry. They don't even mention it. Because guess what? We are looked, you know, a lot of us are looked down upon because of our skin. Not everybody is that way, but a lot of people in the world today are like that. They look down upon black people because of their skin. But I have a whole belief about this whole thing and about where we're from. But that's going to have to be another episode because I actually believe, I'm just going to end it with this, that we all came from Africa. Because if there's a study that a Chinese man, if we have this next episode, another episode on this, a Chinese man did a study over 1,000 people tracing their ancestry. He thought he was going to get China, but guess what? He got all Africa. So that kind of gives you an idea of what I believe, but I just think it's going to be harder for people to accept that, especially if they grew up thinking that they were white this whole time, because who, you know, if you grew up that way, why would you really want to think that, you know, believe that you're black when you have this white privilege and, you know, you're looked up on great.
Oh, hold on, say it again. Say it again. You hit the nail on the head with that one.
That's why it's deep. Because if you're white and you grew up white and believing that you're white this whole time, why would you want black when they are looked upon badly when we're getting killed in the streets because we are black, period. You know, we're not giving opportunities to you know, white people. So why would you want to relate to that? So it's going to be hard for them to accept it. Not saying that they shouldn't accept it. They should because that's who they are. But when you're raised and you're in that mindset, it's going to be difficult, challenging.
Yeah. I do not own the rights to this music. CD4. I'm black, y'all. If you remember that crazy movie from Chris Rock.
New Jack City was in it. The thing is about me. I've been seeing this. This thing is like, all right, if you could be part of that white privilege, okay, and you can have that way of living, I mean, would you want to deny it, or would you want to accept it?
I'm happy being who I am, and I'm about to scorch the land.
That's what I'm saying.
Hey,
so, you mean,
I'm about to scorch the land.
Should she go on and say, listen, put her fist up for once, stand up, you know, and not to put her out there all the way, but, you know, this is a person that, believe it or not, cannot read often. You understand that?
Yeah,
there's a factor of not being educated properly because, you know, that, you got to remember back in those days, early 60s, something like that, because she was born around that time, you know, a lot of people would drop out of school, go straight to work to help mom and dad pay the bills. So, you know, the dropout rate was high. We had miseducation all the time, and we're still finding out stuff in 2021. Like, there was two separate history books being taught in the schools. The North had one, the South had another. So you're being miseducated in one way. All the time. And then now we find out we got the slave Bible. We got one version of the Bible and another version of the Bible. Who's been teaching the correct version of the Bible? Neither. You know what I'm saying? So you go through these things here, and you have to, you know, that's why it says, you know, Muslims say now, they say, listen, don't read English translation of the Quran. Really? You need to learn real Arabic. Read the Quran as it was written in Quran. Do not read in English or any other language because you're going to be misdirected. You're going to be misdirected. Yeah. And because of these misdirections going on and miseducation, people are growing up, excuse my language, ignorant and unaware. And you know, they're going off the old saying of ignorance is bliss. To be ignorant is to be blissful. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And this is the kind of thing we all live in.
Oh, that's crazy, but.
Yeah, that's crazy.
I'm about to hit you with a couple lines before I take off. You know, 6 minutes, Big Tony, you're on. Here we go. What makes you ashamed of being black, Tupac?
Ooh. Ooh.
Hey. Now, I heard that, and this is a subject that can gear emotion and bring out a lot of passion from people. But when I heard the intro to that song, it's a skit almost, and again, I'm going to repeat it, what makes you ashamed of being black? And it's reverb, and it carries out. Now, I love that. But now, 2020, I'm reading a book entitled The Cast by Isabel Wilkerson. Phenomenal book. If you have the time, man, and you enjoy reading, pick it up on audio or also the book itself. But it actually expounded on some things that I was unaware of. As most humans, we are forever learning. And the thing that I took away from that book in the caste system, and I'm not going to call you Brother Al, I'm going to refer to you as Uncle Al. Uncle Al, I want you to listen to me. Listen real close.
I'm going to listen now.
You ready?
Yes, I'm listening.
You're not black. I'm not black. None of us are black. Because to be black is to be nothing. It has no origin. So colorism, and I'm using the explanation from the book, and I'm not calling it law, but I appreciated the explanation, and it gave more light to where we
is that,
stand.
Is that from people that follow the Noble Drew Ali and those teachings? Because that's what it sounds like.
He pulled out the drill.
No. I'm just wondering, because what you're talking about is heavy stuff, but also, too, like that comes from more so people trying to go the Moroccan route or trying to do certain things, and that's because that usually comes from a place of Eurocentric value system, too, because a lot of times people do that where they're like, hey, don't call yourself black because you can't get any money. And it's like, well, guess what? When you weren't calling yourself black, and you were freed, then they still took your money. You know, like when you were native, they still took your money. So it's a very interesting conversation because it's usually people coming from a situation trying to get money that the reality is you're not going to get from anybody outside the diaspora. So I was just wondering, it sounds like a lot of the same stuff.
What
I'm about to say is not really the rhetoric of the Moorish people or the Moors. Noble Drew Ali, I'm taking it from an excerpt and explanation from the book The Caste, where it was just breaking down the caste system, and it was it's simply put in words as such, right? There was no black or white before America. Before America.
Yeah, see, that's what I was saying. I think I got to read that book to see what they're talking about, because that's actually a misnomer. That's not true. Like,
okay.
Because the word Kemet means black.
It was the land of black. And Ethiopians were people who were black into the sun. There's even people called slippery blacks. They called themselves that because when they beat people up in war, they beat them up so bad their blood would go off of their black skin. So it's kind of weird.
Yeah,
weird process,
but
usually it comes. I'm sorry. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
You go ahead.
Go ahead.
I'll usually finish the statement.
Okay. Yeah. So, just playing to those points alone. As far as not labeling yourself as a color, and I'm speaking logic right now. At the end of the day. So from a logic-based standpoint,
okay.
When you look at your skin, unless you're from the Sudan, that is the darkest man that I've ever seen witnessed with my eyes. There is no technically there is no such thing as a black man, black woman, because we're not black, we're brown.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So that's what I'm alluding to, that we're brown, and I think we kind of overhype this subject, and everybody now, then we go to the Baskin Robin effect. You know, so now it goes to 31 different flavors of skin color, caramel, black, light skin, butter pecan, Rican, this, that, and the other, because nobody technically wants to be a friggin' black person when it comes down to it. We embody something as a unit, and we accept it in what we are called, entitled, but not necessarily most people.
What do you mean nobody wants to be? See, that's what I'm saying. That's a Eurocentric lens to me. That's saying,
we are killing it today. That's why we're the powerhouse squad.
Real quick, brother Kofi. I'm simply saying, like, okay, what do we do in America in modern times? In most instances, it's a hot topic that hasn't died off in the U.S. in recent years. So I'm speaking
it hasn't
to
died off,
every.
Brother, where has that died off? And who was the person that introduced it?
It's normalized to a point of acceptance in other countries, to where they're not questioning, they're not questioning themselves because of what they're being identified as a skin complexion, color, and name. So we have people in America.
When you go to the Sudan, you will see that happen because of colonization. When you go to Ghana, you will see that happen in certain places because of colonization. Mm-hmm. When you go to Sierra Leone, you will see that happen because of colonization. When you go to Morocco, you will see that happen because of colonization. When you go to Brazil, you will see that happen because of colonization.
Yep.
You got restrictions. You definitely have restrictions because of color.
No. You will have deeper. You ever been to Belgium?
No, I haven't traveled to Belgium.
When you go to Belgium, you will see cartoons that are set up to be able to make sure that you see blackness being washed off of babies in cartoons to show you that black is dirt. You know,
we're gonna have to take this apart too. Gonna have to take this apart too. Next week.
Hold on one second. Is this aligned with? I'm asking him. Is this more aligned with Saint Patrick and all of those things about Saint Patrick when you're speaking of Belgium? Because I think that's the origin of it, right?
No.
Okay.
There's a lot more too. But what I'm saying, I hear what you're saying. As far as everybody's. If you want to say okay. It's brown and it's this and that, but even the color brown that you use, where did that color come from? Because what's brown in one person's eyes isn't the same. Who taught you what brown is? You see, so even if it's a deeper conversation that I think we have to have versus just being like, hey, we're all not in essence as black as the stars, and therefore black was something. Because guess what? Before somebody told you that blackness was nothing, blackness used to be what everybody aspired to be.
Yes, I wholeheartedly agree. That's how it started.
And we all
and I'm only gonna get,
at the end of the day, we all come out of a black womb. It was the black mother that gave birth to humanity. So we're all.
Yeah.
So I don't look at it as I'm better than somebody. I look at it as all of us really come out of the same thing. Why not unite over that rather than saying, hey, let's go away from what made us in the first place?
No, I'm gonna park it because this is something that's going it can go on for hours. But my only thing.
We're gonna go into part two. We're gonna keep it for part two.
Yeah.
Next week, Thursday.
Hey.
We know the subject. We know what we're going to do.
Yeah.
We're gonna finish this. We're gonna finish this in round two. Next week, definitely we're gonna finish it. And don't forget, we're also gonna do part two with Sister, what we talked about last week. Continuing on, so we got a hot one for you. Sing it there. Also want to give a shout out to our bosses, my boss of the radio station, Sister Hadiya Elamin. Happy birthday, lady. Happy birthday to you. And it is her birthday. She is 7 years old today. So everybody say happy birthday, and we go on to next
happy
week.
Birthday.
I'll see you next week. My name is Brother Alfred. You have tuned into the Powerhouse Squad. We are good. We are killing it. Oh, my God, my mind just went crazy.
The hits just keep on coming.
Let's start the show. You know what time it is.
It's the Powerhouse War. The Powerhouse is the real.
The Powerhouse War is in the house. With Tony Robbins.
Live and direct, man.
Koopy Afore.
Video. I am host Koopy Afore.
And Brother
Al. Hey, what's up?
You know, it's not just the wisdom, it's the basis of understanding of the subject. Let's start the show. The Powerhouse Squad is in the house.
Ooh, that was a good show. That was, it ended hard.